Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another What's in the News episode.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing, Madigan?
Good. Are you recording our video right now?
I am, yes.
I love this. Well, then I feel bad that I'm not like looking cuter, but I do have my feminist sweatshirt on.
That's really cute. I do not look cute. I always record the video because in order to get the audio off of Zoom, you have to record the video. So I've been doing it, but this is actually like the first time I've met with you to record that I haven't put makeup on. Because usually I try and do it because it makes me feel like a human being.
Yeah.
But this week I was just like, I cannot. I just can't.
Yeah. I've been filling in my brows in the morning and that's about it. But it'd be cool to like post clips of us recording. That'd be really fun. So Keegan, a little bit of a check-in. How you doing? How's everything going?
I'm doing okay. I think it's fun to do these like quarantine check-ins. It's like throughout the weeks. It's like, how are you holding up? Better? Worse? Where are you on the scale? Yeah. So
how worried about you do I need to be?
Truly. Have you seen that Britney Spears one where it's just like, where are you at today?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, like what level of quarantine? And it's like the first one is like Britney looking really good and really fierce. And then like number 10 is like bald Britney with an umbrella beating up a car.
It's yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
Where are you?
What level of Britney are you? Got it. Okay, I understand that. Yeah, totally. I get that.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay. Like actually, like I'm feeling all right. I haven't gone out a ton in the last couple of days. Like I went out to the new thing that we have decided to do in an effort to feel in control is reinstate our balcony garden.
Yes, I saw that on Instagram and it looks gorgeous. That picture of the strawberry is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited. Like we were just like, because I've grown peppers and tomatoes out there before. And we were like, you know what, if we're going to be stuck inside without a lot of options to go outside, and also it's hard to get produce and things like right now. So like, let's start a veggie and fruit garden on the balcony. So we did that and it gives us something to do every day and look forward to. So yeah, it's been good. We put up lights out there on the balcony.
Aww.
So we're trying to set it up so that we can like have somewhere to go.
You know what you should do is you should, you have that great bar by your door at night. You should move the bar outside. You get a couple like patio chairs and set up a nice little, because summer's just around the corner and we don't know how long it's gonna last. So I was thinking the same thing of getting like some beach chairs or something that could fold up that I could bring in the house, and then I could just put them up outside and read a book or whatever. And that's actually one of the things I've been doing is I've been reading a lot. I'm reading a book right now called Higher Achiever, I think. It is by Tiffany Jenkins. And it's about a former addict who came through recovery and her story. And it's just really great. And then I got the Malala book, and I got Know My Name by, I don't know her full name, Chantal. What's her last name?
Oh, yes.
The victim of the Brock Turner.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How are you? Is that one, that first one that you mentioned, is that a novel?
It is a novel. It's based on a true story, but the names have been changed, and it starts with her having been arrested, but we don't know why. And then we kind of, it's nice because you learn bits about her story as she's telling it to the people around her in the story. And so it's a really great way to tell her true story, but also in a very like easy to read, sometimes even humorous way. It's pretty amazing. She attempted suicide her first night in prison, and her roommate like saved her life, like heard her and saved her life. And it just kind of goes from there. And it's a really amazing story.
What's that one called again?
I believe it's called Higher Achiever, but you know what? I have it on my iPad right here. So let me check. It's just High Achiever. And then it says the incredible true story of one addict's double life.
Ooh.
It's very good because she's from Florida and she's like about my age. She's like 27. And, you know, when she's younger in the story, she's like 23 or so. But anyways, it's a really, really great and inspiring story and very fascinating. It's also very heavy. So I'm glad I've been reading it at work when I have a lot of really great distraction and things like that.
Yeah, it is one of the benefits of this quarantine that you can kind of like discover new things that you take, you know, joy or pride in.
Yeah.
You have a little bit of time maybe to read or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and make more bread. Although I went to the grocery store because we were like, okay, we're going to do one last like big haul of stuff before everything kind of like slows to a halt. So like, let's get some fresh things or whatever. And I was like, I am going to bake a lot of bread, and breads require so much flour that I was like, yeah, I'm going to like even though I have two things of flour, I'm like, I'm going to buy some more flour. And they are completely out, or where we went was completely out of flour and completely out of chocolate chip cookies or chocolate chips. Yeah. Cause I was going to make cookies too. And they're completely out of chocolate chips.
I want chocolate chip cookies more than I want anything else. We had some for a bit and I don't think I'm getting any. So I got an Instacart on Wednesday. It's being delivered tonight between 8 and 9 p.m.
People are stress baking. They are stress baking. I mean, I even looked on Walmart. Like I was like, oh, let's go to walmart.com and see if I can't have like flour and chocolate chips delivered. Like I know it'll take like 2 weeks or whatever, but eventually they're sold out, except you can buy a 5 pound bag of flour.
I think you should do it.
That's what Anthony said. He's like, just buy the 5 pound bag. And I'm like, I don't need 5 pounds.
Yeah. But no, what you could do is you could get like, do you have other containers?
Yes. Yeah.
You separate it into different containers, put it away in a closet or in the back of a pantry or something. And then as you need it, you have more. Keegan, you're not going to have to buy flour for like 10 years. It's going to be amazing.
It's true. And also like, I it will just encourage me to make a lot of bread. Like that's really what'll happen.
If you could bake me some bread and then we'll plan a time for when I'm leaving work one day, you leave it outside the gate. I'll swoop it, run away with it, eat all of it.
I can do that.
We'd love it. So, all right, should we get into talking a little bit about the news?
Yes, let's do it.
And what's in it?
Yeah.
So there's a few things that I had already written. I wrote two things earlier today that I wanted to talk about. One, not so positive. One, a bit more positive. And right before I was recording, like literally maybe 10 minutes before I texted you today, Max sent me an article of something that I was like, holy shit, I want to read this. So I'm going to read this first. And I don't have any like real notes on it because like I said, I literally just kind of copy pasted a few things from a Vanity Fair article.
Okay.
But let me tell you all about it. Okay. So there's a bunch of senators who knew that shit was going to hit the fan and the coronavirus was going to be awful. And we were going to be in this situation like way back when, like, what do they say, in like November or something? Or was it January? I can't remember.
Yeah. I would think it's probably about January. Cause it was January when people were like, it's coming to the United States. You guys need to get ready. And we didn't, of course.
Right. Well, it was when the U.S. had first been alerted of this, basically a bunch of these senators like pulled all their stocks out because they knew that the stock market was going to crash. Among the group of senators was Georgia's Kelly Loeffler, who reportedly sold stocks worth between $1,275,000 and $3,100,000 between January 24th, when she sat in on a meeting of lawmakers, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, in mid-February, not long before she tweeted, "Democrats have dangerously and intentionally misled the American people on coronavirus readiness. Here's the truth. At Real Donald Trump and his administration are doing a great job working to keep America healthy and safe." And now new disclosures show even more selling of stocks in the weeks that followed, plus an extremely well-timed investment in none other than a company that just happens to make the sort of medical equipment that is extremely short supply at the moment. So she pulls her stocks out of all this stuff, and that's been happening since January. But the most recent development was that she put her money into a company that creates this like medical supplies. So there are these people who basically knew that stocks were going to plummet and that we were in serious trouble, that pulled millions of dollars out of their stocks and are now putting their money into medical supplies, which really had no worth at the time when they were investing into them, but are, and even now, they're really not worth that much. But we know that as time goes on, that stock is going to go up and up.
Yeah. Well, Dianne Feinstein did it. Our senator here in California, our Democratic senator here in California, who,
come on, girl.
I mean, she's been judged for a long time. Like, a lot of very progressive people don't like her, have been trying to get her out for a long time. Yeah, she did it. And since this came to light, and maybe it happened a long time ago, but it came to light very recently because they've been trying to defend themselves recently. And what a lot of them are saying, and I think including the woman who you were just talking about, a lot of them are like, I have money managers. I don't move the money myself.
Yep. It's not me. It's the other people that are looking at the stocks and where things are going. Yeah, exactly. It's so fucked up.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really, really is.
That was one thing that I wanted to mention because that made me really, really mad. And then the other thing that I really wanted to talk about is the difference in treatment between how the US is handling the coronavirus and how China was handling the coronavirus. Because maybe a lot of people already know a lot of this stuff. Some of this was eye-opening to me. It was good information. And for those of you that don't know, it's a bit of an eye-opener of what we could be doing as well, what we could be implementing into our lives to be safer. So when the coronavirus first hit Wuhan, China, authorities went door-to-door for health checks. They forcibly isolated every resident in makeshift hospitals and separated children from their parents if they displayed even mild COVID-19 symptoms. And also, there were caretakers who worked, they said apartments in this article, which was from like a Google News article, but it kind of sounds like they meant, it didn't even sound like a senior living home. It was weird. It just said that like the caretakers at apartments were made to work as like kind of security guards that would monitor the residents' temperatures when they would come in to decide if they could come into the building or not. And there were also fucking drones that hovered the streets that would scold people to go inside or yell at them for not wearing face masks. Like, this stuff is like some Hunger Games stuff.
Yeah, I don't, that feels very dystopian.
Well, here, listen, but this is, it's interesting. So elsewhere in China, there was a mandatory phone app connected to facial recognition software that color codes people based on their contagion risk. This decides who can occupy public spaces. Very dystopian. I know it sounds crazy, but just hear me out through this thing and then we'll discuss it. Okay.
Got it.
Okay, hear me out. I'm not saying we should do this. I'm just saying let's get through all of it and then let's unpack it. So, okay. Apparently you couldn't even go outside if you had a dog. There was somebody who said that they had to train their dog to go potty in a certain area of their house because they weren't allowed to go outside at all. It was really intense. So Chinese officials had said that even if the United States were to immediately adopt all of China's strict testing and lockdown, this still would not stop the spread of the disease. We would apparently need to take even more extreme measures than China, which I'm like, how much more extreme could you get? The Chinese doubt that this will happen in the United States, though, because political will and cultural inclinations here. So basically, the way we are politically minded, we've all got this, like, I want my freedom. Like, Americans are so used to getting things easy and having, like, the leisure of life, where I think the Chinese are kind of looking at us Americans being like, there's no way they could do this. There's no way that they could possibly pull this off.
I agree with them. I don't think that we will be able to do that. I mean, one, it's, there are two completely different forms of government. Like, the Chinese government is far more like authoritarian than what we have here. And then secondly, look, man, I've been added to some groups. I don't even know entirely why I was added to these groups, but somebody added me to a Springfield group, and it's called like Springfield's Closed or whatever. And it's basically where people can talk about which businesses are still open or like how to get things, or people who are still selling things, how to get them and all that stuff. And so I was added to this group, totally fine. But the number of people, I'm telling you, getting the middle of the country to get board with this is going to be extremely difficult. Not for everyone. Like, of course, like my mom is taking it like super seriously. Like, a lot of people are taking it very seriously. But the number of people in this group that I have seen say things like, you're just going to let the government take your freedoms away. Yeah. Like, you know, you guys are sheep and you're getting scared because the government is telling you to be scared. Like these things are things that people are thinking. And the way we have this kind of attitude in this country that I really feel like it will be, have a hard time.
They will. What you're saying is really interesting because they're saying that the big problem here is our lack of unity, which is kind of ironic, hence our name, the United States, because basically the way that our government works is that we leave it up to like individual states and cities and counties and things like that.
An issue because we like just recently, I think just we're recording this on a Wednesday. I think just today or yesterday did Florida's governor finally put a shelter in place on the state. And like, he received a lot of criticism, rightly so, for that. But like, that's the issue that we're having is just like, if we're leaving it up to mayors and governors and cities and states to make these decisions for themselves, which I understand, and it benefits us in a lot of ways to have those kinds of freedoms. But unfortunately, with something like this, especially when you have a president like we have who dragged his feet for a long time in the beginning, it would be nice if somebody could just be like, this is mandatory.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. There is a senior advisor to China's government that says you need to isolate people on an enormous scale in stadiums, big exhibition halls, wherever you can. It seems extreme. It works. No one left behind was the slogan in Wuhan. No one. So they were doing it out of the kindness of their hearts, but it seemed very intense to be, you know, isolating so many people individually. Like, this was a really hard time for people. This wasn't like where we at least have each other in the comforts of our home and everything like that. This has been really tough for a lot of people.
Yeah. So along those lines, Bolsonaro, who is the president of Brazil right now, he is refusing to shut Brazil down, and he is constantly downplaying this virus. He has even called it a measly cold when talking to people. So the coronavirus cases and deaths are mounting in Brazil, but he declared last week that Brazilians are uniquely suited to weather the pandemic because they can be, quote, dunked in raw sewage and don't catch a thing. That's what he said. He's like, our people are tough. We could dunk Brazilians in raw sewage and they wouldn't catch anything.
That's really intense. And I don't really,
it's very insulting.
I was going to say that it's at first sounded like you were going to talk about how resilient they were. And then you just reduced them to basically like rats and raccoons that go through garbage.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I got from it.
Even his own health ministry has said that they need to shut things down. But he decided on last Sunday, to visit the commercial district of Brasilia, the capital, where he called everyone except for elderly Brazilians to get back to work. And then he insisted that there was an anti-malaria pill that has not been proved efficient against this virus. He went and said that this pill would be essentially like a cure to the virus. So he is kind of like the highest profile world leader we are seeing right now resist this. Like in the beginning, we saw Trump kind of like playing this thing off as overblown or as a hoax, but even he came around at some point or was able to be convinced by medical professionals. And unfortunately, Bolsonaro has still not been able to be convinced. So I don't know.
That is such a scary thing to have your leader go and say, everybody get back to work.
It's incredibly scary, especially since the virus started spreading in Brazil in late February. And since then, as of today, as of Wednesday, so Wednesday for everyone listening, there were 6,836 confirmed cases in Brazil and 240 reported deaths in Brazil.
See, really quick, can I interject?
Yeah.
This is the thing about the statistics that's driving me crazy is that we don't actually know because so many people are not getting tested because they're not available.
That's right. I mean, but even then, so we're talking...
The numbers are just going to be higher.
Right. We're talking nearly 7,000 confirmed cases, which means that that number is almost definitely much, much higher than that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so he does not currently endorse any strict quarantine measures at all. So he's actively defying the World Health Organization. And he was quoted as saying, and this is something that we have heard not only from our president, but also from a lot of people, most of them Republicans, who have said that the collateral effects of the measures to fight the coronavirus cannot be worse than the actual illness. So basically he's saying some people are going to die, whatever, at least our economy will be okay. So right. Of course, the country is not happy about this. And they have been protesting, hanging outside of their windows at night, banging pots and pans and yelling down with Bolsonaro. But he was quoted as saying, some will die from it, such is life. And that's it. And I've heard so
many. Did you hear Vanessa Hudgens on like fucking Instagram Live or TikTok or something? Who said the same thing? I'm like, girl, no
thing to say.
Yeah,
And it's then you sacrifice yourself. Then you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what you're asking is for me to sacrifice my parents or my grandparents to this.
Exactly. Well, did you even see the comment on the post that I made yesterday of the? It's like the nurse with the superhero painted behind her.
Yeah,
and I said that. Some heroes wear scrubs. And somebody said, like, well, that's like a career that they get paid for. Like, that's not, they're not,
you're not a hero for doing your job, is basically right. What he was
and
saying.
I was like, well, I commented, I was like, well, what about like the military? Because you get paid to be in the military. You know what I mean? Like,
any of these jobs that people would say are heroic, like firefighters, any of these jobs, yes, they signed up for this. It doesn't mean that it doesn't take a great deal of bravery to do this job every day. And also, I would argue that nurses didn't sign up to be on the front line of a pandemic.
No, and you know what's funny is, well, and that's the thing is that they, this is another like huge countrywide, you know, pandemic, crazy panic time, which just reminds me of like Pearl Harbor when all these nurses who weren't actually trained to be nurses for the military were kind of shipped in to Hawaii and such.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminds me of that.
It's not, I know that your post was directly talking about nurses in particular or doctors, but it's not just nurses and doctors. Like I have friends who are working at grocery stores and they are saying like, they're like, I didn't sign up for this. Like I didn't sign up to be on the front lines of a deadly pandemic, you know?
No,
what I mean?
and they can't quit because they're dependent on their job right now because we don't know how long this is going to last. It's not like they can be like, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here. It's like, I didn't sign up for this, but I don't have another choice. Right. So I have to stick this out.
Yeah, we just got, I mean, luckily Anthony and I are still able to pay our rent and everything, but we just got a notice from our company, our management company, who manages our apartment building. And they were like, hey, we're going to shoulder this together. But by the way, you still owe rent. You know what I mean? They're like, we can't evict you, but you still owe rent. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's how they're going
to
be.
People have to be able to have jobs. So I don't, you know. It sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, Bolsonaro, people are kind of calling for his removal. So we'll see what
Bolsonaro.
Happens.
Bolsonaro, yes. Keegan, we talked about Bolsonaro with the...
He's a bad person. He's
look at how smart I am.
He's a very right-wing president as well. But they are trying to get him impeached right now, or at least there are murmurings of that.
He wants to be a fucking dictator, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was dark. I can't remember all the details around him, but yeah he's a bad man.
It's bad. It's real, real bad. Yeah, get him out of there.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about just quickly, I wanted to talk about this last week, but I was like, we're overloaded with info right now.
Yeah.
But Harvey Weinstein is positive for the coronavirus. He was reported positive. We have not talked about this, but it's something that we should probably address. And
well, because we're really sad about it. We're trying to work through it.
We're absolutely not sad about it, but...
No, we're not. Sorry if my sarcasm wasn't obvious.
No. Your sarcasm was obvious, but...
Okay, good.
We are sad about it, but here's the thing. And this is kind of why I wanted to address it and talk about it, because Harvey Weinstein was tested positive for the coronavirus. And also there were a lot of memes going on about that because literally nobody cares about his feelings or his health because he's a bad person. We just don't like him very much.
Right.
And there's been a lot of memes going around about R. Kelly saying that he wants to get out of prison or moved somewhere because he doesn't feel safe. He's afraid that he's going to get the coronavirus. And it's very easy for us to make jokes about these things or not have any kind of like sympathy for these people because fuck them. They're terrible people. I think we can all agree. But I do think that it is a bigger issue than that because Harvey Weinstein got coronavirus in Rikers. Mm-hmm. And there have been a number of reported confirmed cases in Rikers. And it is this prospect of inmates getting this virus, it's very high and there's not a way to protect this population. So they are an incredibly vulnerable population. There's no way for them to enact healthy social distancing at all for people who are in prison right now. So while I can say, fuck Harvey Weinstein, I have no sympathy for you, it is indicative of a much larger issue. And that is what we are going to do with these people who are currently serving sentences in prison. And as we know, a lot of people are in prison for nonviolent offenses and are at risk right now.
Yeah, that's a really, really great point.
Yeah,
that's
and just
we should all think about.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just something to like kind of keep in mind because also in addition to that, I mean, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, he came out recently and was like, I think he was trying to make us feel more at ease about something, but it was some kind of like something that we are going to need, either like medical equipment or something. And he was like, don't worry, we have inmates making these for us.
Oh my gosh. And be like, no. Well, did you hear that his brother has coronavirus?
Yes, with no symptoms, which again, I'm like, must be a privilege to be able to just get yourself tested.
Literally, all the celebrities have like no symptoms. It's crazy.
But I mean, what the fuck is that? It's just like a lot of people have been waiting for tests who have
lots of
symptoms.
Does that mean that all of us have it?
I think a large number of people do have it and are not showing symptoms, which is why they want people to be social distancing and isolating themselves. Because you could be passing it on, you could be a carrier, even if you have no symptoms. But the thing is, it's so fucked up that people have symptoms or there are people dying who, because they couldn't get to the hospital soon enough or whatever, their deaths are not being reported as coronavirus. They're being reported as pneumonia or something else. And those people can't get tests.
Yeah.
But you got Kris Jenner, who's just like, I'm not feeling good. And then she gets a fucking test for coronavirus. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
But yeah, I just want us to be able to keep that in mind. I think that Americans in particular, but probably a lot of people in the world, have this kind of disdain or dismissive attitude towards prisoners.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, well, fuck them. They're criminals. I think a lot of people feel that way. And they're still human beings. They still have human rights. And there are a lot of nonviolent offenders who could very likely come down with this virus and they are not being protected at all. So just something to keep in mind. For the record, our podcast is always fuck Harvey Weinstein. So
yes,
no need to question that.
Yeah, we are not. We're not questioning whether or not Harvey Weinstein having coronavirus is a good thing or not. I mean, no, but coronavirus is a bad thing, but we're not mad that Harvey Weinstein is going through a hard time.
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm not like, I don't wish for him to like have that kind of like painful disease or death or anything like that. But I'm also not like crying in my bed at night that he's having a tough go of it, you know?
No, I'm glad he's not feeling well. That's all I have to say. Okay, so I have a bit of a fun thing, and then I actually want to read a listener sent in some things that she's been doing.
Sounds good.
To stay sane during all of this. So today, Wednesday, April 1st, Jimmy Kimmel came out with a video of some ideas for hilarious April Fool's pranks during social distancing for the coronavirus. So he says, here are some simple ways to torment your loved ones. The first one he says his daughter Katie came up with, and it says, text all your friends individually and say, hey, I'm outside your house, answer the door. The next one is put a sex toy in an Amazon box and tell your mom that a package came. The other one is cancel Netflix and tell your family you did it so you can spend more time together. This one I really like. Program your Alexa to tell everyone to wash their hands every 4 minutes.
I have to say, these are funny, but I don't think I've ever professed publicly my disdain for pranks.
Me too.
I hate pranks so much.
Me too. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is more important than the rest of this. Although one of them is boil a roll of toilet paper, which is just plain cruel.
Wasteful.
Okay. But so when I was younger and I first discovered pranks, I was like, this is going to be so funny. My uncle was in just his like swim trunks out on the beach at my cabin. And he was asleep with like a hat over his head. So I like put whipped cream on like his nipples and on his hat and all down his arms. And then he woke up later like, ah, and I was like, Uncle, I'm so sorry. Let me make you some coffee. So I pour him a cup of coffee from the coffee pot from that morning. And I poured in just everything, just weird spices and honey, and but like nothing that made it obvious. And I hand him this coffee and it tastes horrible. And I think I'm the funniest thing in the world. I'm like 5 years old. I'm king. So that night I get ready for bed and I slept in a cot at the end of the guest bed where my uncle, my aunt would be sleeping. And I pull my covers back and there's like dry white beans everywhere in my bed. And I start bawling. You're mean.
Yeah, you can dish it, but you can't take it.
Well, that's my only child in me. That's how I was my entire life. Like I would do something and then someone would do it back to me and I'd be like, you can't do that. Like I didn't have a sibling to like knock me down a couple pegs, you know?
You needed your uncle to teach you some life lessons.
He didn't. He thought it was going to be funny. Like because we sleep in the same room. Like he thought it was going to be this like, ha ha ha, I got you back. Let's clean them up. This isn't a big deal. In my head, it was like, we're never going to clean this up. I'm never getting to bed. This is the meanest thing anyone's ever done to me. Like, but ever since then, I've just been so weary of pranksters. It scares me. I'm a yelper. Like my mom, when I get scared, it's like, oh, you know,
I do not like pranks. I have never liked pranks. I think most pranks are mean. Mm-hmm. In general. And I just don't like making other people feel uncomfortable. Right. So I don't these like pranks. But these seem wholesome. Funny. Yeah, they're wholesome.
These are really wholesome, like family things. Like I'm gonna say one more because I thought it was really funny. If you have a baby and you are living with a partner, you print out like a really scary picture. Like he printed out a scary picture of a raccoon and you place it like right in front of the camera or in front of where the baby's sleeping. So it's just like you can see it, Keegan, on this camera. It's just this view.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you put the baby to sleep, tell your partner to go check on the baby monitor and they see a rabid raccoon staring back at them.
See, I don't think I would like that either.
That would scare the shit out of me. But that one's the most intense one from Jimmy. Okay, so I am going to read a message that we got today. Okay, so the wonderful Instagram user, it's Natasha C, wrote into us saying how she is staying sane during all this, how she is surviving and thriving. She says, I'm staying sane with everything going on by trying to limit how much time I look at the news. I'm keeping up with it, but I'm not reading it to the point where I feel panicked or upset, which is pretty hard to do. I've had to be really disciplined because if not, I could read way too much. I've watched some TV I've been meaning to watch, and I've been playing with my cats. Whenever I feel sad or anxious, I cuddle them, and they've been such a source of comfort like they always are. I've been calling family and friends, cleaning, writing, and dancing around to music. I've also been playing Sims because it distracts me, and I can get immersed in it easily. That's something that I've thought about because I bought Sims a while ago and played it when I first got it, and I haven't played it since.
Yeah, I really want to get – I can't find my old Animal Crossing – mm-hmm. I really want to get another Animal Crossing for my Wii. Yeah. Because I feel the same way about the Wii. I feel the same way about Animal Crossing, where it's like you can get completely immersed in a different world. You can like zone out, cut yourself off from reality for a few hours or whatever.
Max ordered an Xbox so we could play a hockey game.
Nice.
And he got a baseball game on his computer because he is a sports fanatic and he can't watch any sports. So he's just glad to be a part of it in some way. All right. Getting back to our message here. I'm reading a lot too. I reread a book called Body Positive Power by Megan Crabb, who is Body Positive Panda on Instagram, because as someone who struggled with similar issues to her, I've needed a reminder that I can keep moving forward in my recovery even when things are difficult. So I was going to message her back and I decided just to talk to her this way. If this is what you're doing, go on Amazon and look up The 8 Keys to Recovery by Carolyn Costin and go back and listen to where I discuss Carolyn Costin. Somewhere in our archives, I didn't look it up, but if you are someone who struggles with body positivity or an eating disorder of any kind, that is a book that saved my life, and I recommend it to literally any of my friends that need some of that help. All right, again, sorry, getting back to it. Listening to podcasts has been helping. I've been re-listening to old YAMP episodes. I even listened to Red Pill again, and you both deserve a medal for putting yourselves through that.
Thank you so much.
Can you remember? Oh my God.
It was awful. That documentary would not recommend. 0 of 10.
I think it took a week for both of us to watch it. We watched it in like 15-minute increments.
Yeah.
Okay. She says, P.S. Thank you for still putting episodes out. If I feel sad or lonely, listening to you guys helps because it feels like having two friends in your ears and it makes things feel more bearable. And I'm sorry if this is a little long.
Honey, we got nothing but time.
You got nothing but time. Where are we going? Make them long. Yeah,
you're right about that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I loved it. I think that was the only one that we got this week. So if you want to be like, it's Natasha C., I would love to share more of those. I think it's great. And it doesn't even have to be all about how much you love us. Like, you don't have to say that. It doesn't have to
be
included.
We'll still read your.
Yeah. We're not going to not read it. You know, that would be crazy.
What I will say is, as far as like not reading the news too much, I think that is so important. And I think specifically it's very important. And I got this from listening to Daily Zeitgeist. Miles was saying how at least before bed, try and come up with a new routine other than scrolling on Facebook where you're exposed to the news and people's opinions just before bed. Like, give yourself that little reprieve before you go to sleep so that you can kind of like regenerate. Same thing right when you wake up in the morning, because like we were talking about before we started recording, like all the news is coronavirus news. Like all of it is, and rightfully so, because the world is coming to a standstill and everyone is experiencing this. So we're exposed to it constantly without a lot of a reprieve. So definitely I would recommend garden, ride your bike, read books, play games, find things that don't involve being as connected to the news and other people's opinions.
I agree. You know, it's really interesting. I got home today and I opened Instagram and I was scrolling through and I was looking at what my boyfriend sent me while I was at work, and I was responding to it in person to him, and it was like 5 o'clock. And because like when I got home, I'm in the middle of my book and I just immediately started reading and I didn't even look at my phone. And he was like, I sent that to you at like 2. Like, I'm not even really checking Instagram. I'm not checking Facebook at all. I'm checking the news a little bit when I get home, and is usually on at work when I get there. And even before this happened, I usually play a certain type of game of solitaire called Spiderette. I've won almost 250 games in a row on my phone.
I love Spider. Spider Solitaire is the best.
I've won almost 250 games in a row, Keegan.
Congratulations.
And then I also have this really, really like dumb, I think it's kind of like a dumb game because I'm mean to myself, but it's basically like you design, like you style women for different occasions on this like game.
I love that. I love any of that stuff where you can just kind of turn your brain off.
And it's real designer clothes.
I like it.
It's fun. It's called
Covet. I don't think you have to be embarrassed about that. I think that like anything where we can like be a little creative, have a little fun, who fucking cares?
Exactly. I've been doing that before bed, and I make myself look at the news right now because of this. And the first week or so, I was so immersed in the news that I felt like I needed a bit of a break because work has been really stressful, and you know, emotions and my anxiety right now are bad. Anxiety is not going super well for me right now. So I've had to really stay away, but it's been good having this to keep me, you know, just involved enough to know the things that I really, really want to know and be involved in. So
Yeah. Yeah. I've had to tell Anthony to step away. I'm like, you know, we don't need to know every single thing. We're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. We're limiting the amount that we like have to go out. We almost like, I haven't stepped outside of the house today, except for on my balcony. We're doing the things that we're supposed to do. And outside of that, we'll take in as much information as is necessary. But anything more than that is just putting you in a space where this is so far out of our control that you can't, like, you just can't be too submerged in it, you know, because if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you worrying isn't going to change the outcome of like what's going to happen.
Well, like, you can't, that's how worry works. When you worry about something before it's happened, you're just worrying about something twice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't, you know, it's good to have information, but it's like, it's almost like we're getting different tips and information every day from different sources and different things like that, where it's like, follow the basic rules of what you feel instinctually are going to be the safest thing for you right now, which means stay inside, wash your hands a lot, make sure that you're not coming in contact with people whenever necessary.
Disinfect your stuff when you bring it into your house. Like, all of these things, if you're doing the things you're supposed to do.
But you can't worry about your friends getting sick. You can't worry about your family getting sick. You can't worry about any of that, because that's not going to change the outcome. We can't control what's going to happen in the future. All we can do is buckle up, settle in, get on some comfy clothes, and wait it out. That's all we can do, you know?
We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you have anything that you want to write into us about, if you want to tell us how you're surviving quarantine, little things that are bringing you joy, we would love to hear that. So please reach out to us. You can do so as It's Natasha C did on our Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can also email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. We love getting emails from you guys. You can also reach out to us on Facebook. We have a business page and a group page. You can leave us a review on our group page or on Apple Podcasts. We did get a new review that
we did, and Madigan, I totally forgot to post it yesterday.
I know, the two of us suck, and we totally forgot to post our review, but we will do that soon.
Yep.
And if you would love to leave us a review, we would love to read it. And you can also listen to us on Radio Public. It is a free way for you to listen, and it helps us out just a little bit. And I think
you missed one thing.
What's that?
We also have a Twitter.
Yamf Podcast.
YANF Podcast. They know it by now. They know it. They got it. They're like, yeah, we got it.
They post once a week. It's amazing. They're doing incredibly.
I did two posts in one day last week, and I was so proud of myself, and then didn't do it again.
I know. It's hard to do.
Oh, man. And my mind has been everywhere. I've been forgetting Instagram posts. I've been forgetting because I'm somehow a second grade teacher now and probably will be till the end of the school year. So my life is a little difficult right now.
It's okay. We're all just going to have to give each other a lot of grace and patience throughout this.
Just all love, everybody. All love. All right, everybody. That's all we have for you today. With all of that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.